man's humanity to man. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with meditation. Man's humanity to man. What is man's humanity to man? The problem of man's humanity to man is, how do we look at ourselves? How do we look at who we are, what we are? How do we look at what our goals are, what our desires are, what our dreams are? That's exactly the way we look at mankind. If you see a world that's filled with happiness, you can be sure that you are living a life filled with happiness. If you see a world filled with abundance and harmony and wholeness, you can be sure you're living a life filled with harmony and wholeness and abundance. If you see anything in the world where things are not pleasant, where things are not harmonious, where things are not joyous and peaceful, you can be sure your own personal life is filled with a lot of confusion. Man's humanity to man depends upon, first, man's humanity to itself. How do I, respond to myself? Do I want to live in the past? Do I want to live in the future? Do I want to live in the now? Those are all evident in what my life is all about. If I want to live in the past, I will be looking at all the limitations of the past or the successes of the past and let those be my goal for myself. If I want to do that, then that's where I am. That's what history books are all filled up with. That's what all of the past is filled up with. The past. Now, scientists are great scientists because they are living in the now. They may have information from the past, they may have information of what has gone before, but they do not allow that to stop them. That merely goads them on to greater depth of understanding of now. How does it affect us now? How does it affect our world now? How are we going to respond to what's going on in the world now? What life is all about now? And that is how we respond to ourselves. If you are a person who loves history, who loves relating to the past, who loves relating to things that have gone on in the past and long since gone away, if you love the history stories and things like that, that's okay. But is it a limitation to you, or is it an inspiration to you? If the past is an inspiration to you, then well and good. Then your humanity to man, your humanity to yourself, is a glorious and a beautiful thing. If whatever is past ties you down and doesn't let you be free to be who you are now, then you are being very inhumane to yourself. And unfortunately, a lot of us are very inhumane to ourselves because we live sort of tied up with the past. When a little child does something bad, he gets a spanking, and his mother says, "Now don't do that again." And if the little child does not do that again, then that is all forgotten and forgiven, and you live in the now. But if you go to a child and you say, "I saw you do that once, I saw you do that mean thing, I saw you do that unhappy thing," and again, reiterating, regurgitating, reviewing the past, then there is no growth, there is no humanity. Man's humanity to man comes because man has a generous heart. Man has a loving consciousness. Man has an attitude of peace and joy. If you look at your garden and you say, what an ugly garden, all dried up. It's now the fall time, and all of the plants are out of the garden or dead or dying or sleeping, and it looks terrible. It looks terrible. The garden is not appealing at all. And you look at the garden and you say, it's not appealing. What you have in your heart is no remembrance of the garden when it was in full bloom. You have no realization that the winter comes and the garden sleeps. And the spring comes and the garden reawakens. Yet the garden doesn't reawaken. The garden awakens to a newness of life. The garden awakens to a total new aspect of its beingness. The garden is what it has never been before. The garden is a magical experience of something brand new and wonderful and beautiful. Now, what do we have that gives us evidence of this? All we have is our past. And if we look at the past, we look at the best, we look at the garden in full bloom, we say, wow, that is great. And then as fall comes, we take this as a realization. We don't take this as something terrible or ugly or something that is never going to change or never going to improve. We realize it's just a phase in life's movement. Spring, summer, winter, and fall, the seasons come and the seasons go. And now you live in a place like Southern California, and it seems like it's summer all the time. You go to Florida, and it seems like it's summer all the time. It seems summer all the time because you have plants that are green all the time. If you have deciduous plants in Florida and in California and other Mediterranean-type places, you'll find that they too lose their leaves in the summertime, in the wintertime, in the fall. They too gain their leaves when spring comes along and are in full bloom when summer comes along. And when fall comes along, they turn colors and they stop being living leaves and they start dying and ready to drop their leaves. And even nature, in its finest warehouse, has dropped the leaves on the ground around the plant, offering it a blanket over which the snow may lay. It's all in a beautiful pattern. Well, humanity is a beautiful pattern too. And when we look at humanity, and we see humanity as being good and very good, even the worst of humanity, even the worst of humanity where they have been terrible people, like dictators or something of that nature, or just people who have done a terrible thing. And then we look at them and we say, so now they're doing good things. I am going to believe in that. Of yourself, of anyone in the world, can we ever say that they never did anything which was evil or bad or unkind or thoughtless or not beneficial? Well, we can always say that. But when we concentrate on it, then we are being inhumane to mankind. Man's humanity to man is when he is able to forgive. When he's able to look at the past and say, so it was, and now what are we looking forward to now? What are we going to do? And like the child, you have him write on the blackboard or whiteboard, whatever the case may be, and you say, I will not do that again. Well, we've learned that that's not really a beneficial way to do it. What do you want the child to do? I will be courteous at all times. I will be courteous at all times. What do you say about stealing? I want only what belongs to me. I enjoy only what belongs to me. What belongs to somebody else, I do not touch it. Now, I teach a pretty hard row in that respect, and I say, if you are really honest, if you really have integrity within you, you will see something that is on the ground, you'll see something that belongs to somebody else. If it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to somebody else. And if it belongs to somebody else, they may find it and they may not find it, but it does not belong to you, and you have no authority to touch, to handle, to take anything that you find. And story finders keepers is what we try to give to ourselves all the time, but that's not true. It is not finders keepers. If you took something that you found, and someone came along later looking for that which they lost, and you have taken that, you have moved it from where you found it, in possibly your own pocket, you are a thief. You have taken something that belongs to somebody else, and whether they ever look for it again or whether they ever find it and it's still there, doesn't make any difference to you. It does not belong to you. Whatever belongs to us is our humanity to man. When we can really take that which belongs to us and enjoy it and manifest it to the fullest and share it if we wish and give it away if we wish, but it's ours to do with as we wish. It's not a matter that it is something that does not belong to somebody else. When it does not belong to us, we do not touch it. And this is true of all aspects of life. People say they steal the DVDs, they steal the videos and so forth from television and from the movies that they shouldn't, and they make copies of them and they share them with their friends. Well, now, this is stealing as much as anything else in the world is stealing. Now, we say, to be or not to be. Now, that phrase is a literary masterpiece that Shakespeare had said. Now, perhaps someone before Shakespeare had said that. Maybe Shakespeare borrowed that from somebody else. But as far as we know, that belongs to Shakespeare. And so we intimate, as Shakespeare said, to be or not to be. Or, if it is so prominent and it's so well known, we don't have to say who said it. We just say it and keep saying it and make it part of our life. And that's not stealing. That is just making something part of your life. To be or not to be, I say. And I do not say Shakespeare said it each time I say it. Or, as we say about Ralph Waldo Emerson, get your bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits. What a wonderful statement. What a powerful statement. And we oftentimes make that statement without telling it that Ralph Waldo Emerson had written that statement. And perhaps someone before him had written it too, but that makes no difference. We know that that is a borrowed statement, and because it is so literarily popular and well known, we don't always have to say that Emerson had said that. But we know that it's not totally ours, it's a borrowed statement. And as a borrowed statement, it can never have the punch that it does. I have a lot of students taking the courses of the University of Healing. And over the years, they've taken the courses, and they've enjoyed the courses, and they've thoroughly delighted in the courses. And they want to take certain phrases that I have used, perhaps new in some of my books myself, and they want to use them for their own. And so then they start using them. And then they start wanting to take them verbatim, take paragraphs and take chapters from my books and things like that, and put their name on it. And I say, that's okay, do as you like. You know that you're stealing and you don't want to steal. Now, do you really believe what that paragraph says, what that chapter says? If you really believe it, put it in your own words, and it belongs to you, and you can have it forever, and you will not have stolen it from anyone else. You will not have taken the literary property of another person and put your name on it. But when you rewrite it in your own words, the ideas cannot be copyrighted. Ideas are universal. Ideas are symbols. But the manner in which that idea is related, how that story is told, how that piece of literature comes to be, that is the magic of a genius, and everyone has that genius in them if they choose to use it. Man's inhumanity to man is that man does not in himself, he is not in himself at all times absolutely honest. In himself at all times, he is not respectful of himself and others. Man's inhumanity to man is when somewhere along the line, man forgets to love himself. And when he loves himself, then he will see the world as lovely. He will see all beings as lovely. And as he sees all beings as lovely, that will be the reflection of what he is. Man has a great humanity for man, by and large, and this will always be, because it is man's tendency, it is man's attitude to be loving, to be gentle, to be kind, to want to have things be harmonious, to want to have life be worthwhile. And it will be, and it is, so long as we require of ourselves what we require of others. If we require the truth of ourselves, then require the truth of others. If we require honesty of ourselves, then we require honesty of others. But we don't have to require anything of others if we require it of ourselves. For if we require any quality, any virtue of ourself, then we will immediately see that quality, that virtue, that desirable attitude in all others. And that will be our humanity to man. Man's humanity to man. Be yourself and have fun. Live whatever values you believe in every moment of your life. And if you ever do not, if you ever, this is the toughie, if you ever see another person and you are judging them to be not good, look inside yourself very quickly and you will see that meanness or that unhappiness in you. And it's time then to change that view inside you and look at all people as good and very good. Look at all people as desirable, as worthwhile, as magnificent. Be yourself and have fun. Be yourself. Live what values you have. That's all that life's all about. Every moment of my life, I do my best to live the values that I have. At times it becomes a struggle because I'm living in a world that I judge. And the moment I stop judging the world, I stop judging myself, and I start living my unconditional love, then everything is beautiful. And that beauty continues on forever and ever and ever. Man's humanity to man is man's humanity to himself. Have a lovely day. Meditate with me on this wonderful idea, for it is beautiful. I love you. I love you. I love you.